Hallelujah. One scripture and then we'll pray. It says this, and we've been talking about purpose and the importance of purpose. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him who is Him in God and finds its purpose in Him. I just want to talk to you today about purpose matters. Say it with me, purpose matters. Purpose matters. As we pray, Father, thank you so much for your love and your kindness and all that you do. We bless you. We give you honor and praise. Thank you for this day, for this is the day that you've made. And thank you for this body of believers that have come together to glorify you. Because, God, you are worthy of the glory. You're worthy of the praise. So have your way today. Speak to some heart that wants to know you, God. Somebody came just like the woman that touched the hem of your garment. They are reaching. There's something they need from you, God. So will you pour into us today, God? May your will be done. That's our prayer. And Father, we give you glory, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Give him one more praise. He's a good God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God. We praise him and honor him today, and thank you for those that will be partnering and participating with us in this time of fasting and prayer. You know that twice a year we go before God with prayer and focus on fasting. Why? Because during the year you get, you know, pulled this way and pulled that way, and you have so many voices. It's our time to quiet ourselves, and I call it detox, you know, because so many toxic things. What does toxic mean? It kills the very life on the inside of you. Can't get a witness. So therefore, I need to block out some of those things, including the news sometimes. I didn't say block it all the way out, but news can mess with your head. Can't get a witness. It'll have you having a bad day. You get to hearing what all they say, and I don't know what's true and what's not true, who lying and who not, because they're saying so many people lying, but it don't make no difference. I focus my attention upon God, you know, because there's peace in him. Can I get a witness? And if I want peace, I know where to go, because he said he'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed upon him. So during this time, we want to keep our minds stayed upon him. That is God's purpose and plan for our lives. There's another thing that we want to do too, is that during this time, I encourage you to partner with someone. There's something called a buddy system. Buddy systems mean I don't do this thing by myself. I encourage you to grab the hand of some, not right now, because I know some of y'all would do it, so I'm not talking about right now, but in the sense that you'll be accountable to someone, that you'll pray with someone. And some of you say, well, I'll just do it by myself. That's okay, but there's something about when, because one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. There's something about numbers. And if you don't have a friend, a spiritual friend, you need one. Because sometimes we get tired. Can I get a witness? And we want to quit. We need somebody to talk to when we feel down. And you need somebody. And some say, well, I'll just talk to Jesus. That's a good thing. But sometimes Jesus needs some flesh on him. Hallelujah. And we can be flesh. We can be Jesus in the flesh to somebody. Can I get a witness? So I want to encourage you to do that. It'll make a tremendous difference in your life. I've partnered with my sons, as I normally do, and I told you it started some time ago, because we do this every year. We do this twice a year, in the beginning of the year and also toward fall of the year. Last time, man, we had such an amazing time. Just let you know what happens when you begin to pray. My sons and I were praying about this time last year, and they're praying and fasting now as well. But we started praying together and believing God for some things. And, man, it's amazing what God does when you come together and pray. Man, and praying in unity. And we were calling each other every day of that fast. And we only stay on the phone about 15 to 20 minutes. But that's enough to hear what's going on and to pray. Because, you know, we're not making anything happen. We're just listening to God's voice. But in the midst of that, you know, God answered our prayer. And then on that final Sunday, it ended on a Sunday, it was on my birthday again last year. We happened to be in Chicago, went to some church called, somebody called John Hanna or somebody like that. But it was a powerful time. And, man, can you imagine praising God with your family, with your sons, giving God, I mean, loud praise. Not no, you know, that, yeah, God's been, no. We was loud. Why? Because God's been good. God has opened doors, man. And when I was in the world, I wasn't ashamed. Why I got to come to church and get all shame now? Why I got to be quiet in the church? No, if I'm going to do something, I want to be all in. Are you with me today? That's why our praise should be all in. That's why when we share the gospel, the Bible says what thing wasn't done in the corner. But we need to taste and see that the Lord is good and make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you land, and serve the Lord with what? Gladness. And I'm glad that I'm serving the Lord today. And let me let you know something, that God enjoys you. He enjoys you right now. And some people say, well, I've made a mistake. Makes no difference how many mistakes you've made. God yet enjoys you. It's the enemy that tells you, and he'll tell you according to Revelations, the 12th chapter, where it says that the accuser of the brethren accuses us day and night before God. I want you to know that regardless of how much we are being accused, there's someone's blood that was shed on our behalf. And they said, I know they messed up, God, but look at me. I stood in the place of their place, and I am perfect and spotless. And they are declared purpose and spotless, not because of what they did, but because of what I did, and them receiving all that I have. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Somebody give him praise and give him glory. So in a brief review, if you will, everything has purpose according to that particular scripture, that everything has purpose. And if you can look outside and see nature, you see that you see it in the squirrels, the birds, the hummingbirds. I really like to see them and see that nobody could do that but God, because they say they're aerodynamically, that they should not be able to be in one spot and fly. But man, when God places his hand upon them, just like bumblebees, man, when God, his hand is on it, man, it just happens. And when you see deer running through the nature, and you see all these things taking place nature-wise, you say, you know, nobody could do that but a God. You look at the grass, you look at the trees, and you say, God, you're awesome. You know, we were in, forget California, one of the big trees that you drive through it and walk through. I mean, the trees are huge. And you look up and say, God, you know what? You bad, God. I don't know if you ever had one of the moments. You looked around and saw something. Man, God, you know, God. I mean, it just really makes you recognize how big, how vast he is. You look in the sky and you see all these galaxies, and you recognize that the Milky Way is only one galaxy in the midst of millions. So you think that God, no wonder the psalmist said, who are we? Who is man that you consider us, that you think of us in the midst of all this stuff? Man, oh man, God, thank you for thinking of us. Thank you for loving us. Do you know that one of the purposes that you were created to be loved by God? Say it with me, I was created to be loved by God. The scripture says in the book of Revelations, it says this, is that we were created for his purpose. And that's something for his purpose and his pleasure. And it's something that when we think about God created us for his pleasure, thank you, Jesus. We want to be in a relationship. So when we start talking about fasting and praying, don't focus on I'm suffering for him. That's not the focus. Please get that out of your head. Well, we go, and don't y'all be going around telling people, at Abundant Faith, we fasted. I'm just so hungry. I can't eat till later on. Don't do that. Don't do that. Why are you looking like that? We just fasted. Why are you so greasy? I just got olive oil all over me. It said, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear to man not to be fasting, okay? So what is the focus? The focus is this, is God, I want to block out all of the voices, and I want to hear your voice. I want to submit myself, prepare myself to hear from you, because a lot of times you can hear a word, and you can read something in the Bible, but it not come to life to you or in you, because you're not spiritually sensitive to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I hear people on a regular basis say, well, I've heard that before. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, you have to have your spiritual ears to hear what God says, because so many of the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those, they heard, but they really did. I mean, they could quote it, but it wasn't in their heart. Are you with me today? So we want to say, God, we want you to speak to us, and we want to hear your word and walk in that. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, I was talking about fasting. I'm almost done now. There's three different types, and we'll talk about later on. But one is you know, cutting out meats and sweets, and we're certainly doing that for the next 21 days, thank God, because, man, if there's one issue that I had is with sweets. Man, anybody else, y'all struggle with sweets? Dang, I'm so glad I'm not by myself. Because, man, if I could, I don't even have to eat regular food. Sometimes I can eat, and just because you're not overweight, it don't mean that you eat the right things. Yeah, man, I'm telling you what, I can, man. Honey buns were my thing, but I've almost been delivered, almost totally delivered. There's something about a honey bun with butter on top of it and the microwave put on 17 seconds. That thing comes out anointed, man, I'm just saying. You'd be like, oh, whew. You ready to have church now? But I wanted to get rid of some of those things and say, God, now you have my attention because I love nothing more than I love you. I don't want to focus on anything like I focus on you, God. I want you to be first and foremost. And I want to share this with you. And I've got some points I want to share because, again, purpose brings meaning to life. And purpose causes us to have clarity and focus in life. And if you do it right, man, focus will also establish a tremendous passion in your heart. You'll come alive when you recognize what God has called you to do. And I'm excited about that. And this is not a message per se, but I heard Jeanette just the other day. I think it was Wednesday. We're doing the Wednesday service. She was saying that, you know, God has given her her purpose is to help organize and do business, and the gifting and the purpose is there. And I was so happy. And one of these days, I'll teach you, maybe next Sunday, happy to hear that sometimes you recognize that your natural, what more people would call your natural profession or your career, and that is your purpose many times to bring people into the kingdom because it's there to bring glory to God. Let me see if I can explain that better. Stephen Curry, he's anointed to do what he does. I'm so glad that he is not, you know, didn't try to do what I do, stand up here and preach. That would be a waste of three-pointers. You follow what I'm saying? But what he does is every time he hits and he gives God the glory, God is getting glory. And then he tells people, he says, hey, man, God is ahead of my life. I haven't arrived, but I know God is in my life and I love him. Man, what more powerful testimony? Whatever you do, it's important that you give God the glory in what you do. So if it's business, if he calls you to do business, it's okay. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me today? I'm so glad that he knows what we need. Now, let me get in this word. In the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, there's a passage about an individual. His name is Saul, and Saul is called, and he's also religious. He's super smart. He knows several languages. He's quite the individual. He absolutely is. And sometimes we have all the makings of an individual that will do great things, but we're on the wrong path. We recognize there's something different about him. You know, man, how can you speak so many languages and understand so many mysteries and have so many deep things on the inside of you and even love God? But instead of you being a God, I should say, even know of God, let me put it like that, know of God and have a form of godliness, but it not bring any glory to God. That's why I said I don't want to be in church going through the motions and not have a relationship with God. God is more concerned about our intimacy with him. He's more concerned about him being our father and we being his children than us adhering to a bunch of do's and don'ts and thou shalt nots. Can I get a witness in the house? But when you love God, that's what keeps me going. And people ask the question, what allows you and causes you to keep going year after year? What causes me to keep going is my love for God. Love the Lord with all your heart and then love your neighbors as yourself. Those things, loving God and loving people, make me want to continue to do what I do, and that's my purpose. Are you with me today? Are you with me? Are you for real, for real? So therefore, we must understand that God had a hand on Saul's life even though Saul was going the wrong direction. Let's see what this passage says. It says here that, it's the first verse, it says Saul was uttering threats And every breath was about killing the Lord's followers. And he went to the high priest to get permission to do it. And the synagogues of Damascus, they cooperate with him so he could arrest believers, people that were living for God. He wanted to arrest them, both men and women. He would bring them back in chains, put them in jail. These are people that follow God. Look at the third verse. Third verse says, as he neared Damascus, he's on the Damascus road, on his journey. He was on a life journey, but he was on a life journey to do the wrong things. So how can you be a man that you know God and you're super religious because you're a Pharisee of Pharisees and you've got a religious history of people that have gone to church and we've been a part of that church a long time, but you still don't really know God? You really don't know him in such a way that Jesus is the very image of God on the earth. Thank you, God. And instead, you are messing with his people and those who follow him. Can I let you know that I believe that God is trying to get many of our attentions, even the attentions of us in the church? You can be religious, but if all you're doing is going through the religious thing, well, yeah, I showed up. Yeah, I took a few notes. Yeah, it was pretty good. You missed the whole thing. No, this is a worship experience. You know, God, this is about me and you having a relationship, an intimate relationship, because otherwise it's just religion that's dry. If it was dry, I would have stopped a long time ago. If it was dead, about dead works, about doing a whole bunch of stuff, I would have stopped a long time ago. No, I only do what I do because I love you, God, and I love your people. It makes a difference. Can I get a witness in this place? So Saul here is going on his way just like many of us. And there are a lot of smart people that are going, doing the wrong things with their knowledge that they have. Can I get a witness? Amen. Woo. And God says, I want your attention. And I put it like this in one of the notes. I said like this. I said that God gives us revelation on our life journey, because he does. On our life journey, we think we're going our way, doing our thing, and we're doing the wrong thing. He says, that's not really what I have planned for you. I'm so glad that God allows for U-turns. We can be going down a way, and God says, that's not way. So God gives us revelation on our life journey. And some of us are on a life journey right now. So the Bible says that as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. So he's on his way to give some people some beat downs, put them in chains. You one of them, right? Yeah, you going with me. Yeah, I got papers to prove. I got the papers from the folks. Now you going. Chains, please. Lock them up, drag them on. You going to jail. Now, how many, if they was dragging folk to jail now that were believers, a lot of us say, I ain't one of them. You a Christian? Nah. What else can I have? Can I be something else? What about a Hindu? What are you taking them in? But they were willing to die for what they believed in. So the Bible says here that this light came, and it's important that God says, I want to capture you right where you are. And I wrote this note down. It's not on the screen. But can I remind you that we are desired and pursued by God? Personalize it. Say, I am desired and pursued by God. That means that whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, God is in pursuit of you. He loves you that much. Man, this blesses me. You mean to tell me, God, while I'm messing up, clowning, and beating your own people, you still love me and are pursuing me? That's why nobody is exempt. Nobody is left out. Even when you're messing up and when you're not doing the right thing, God still loves you, desires you, and pursues you. I believe that God is in pursuit of some people today. Amen. I believe that he wants your heart. He just doesn't want you to go through the motions. No, he wants all of you. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Thank you, God. So as he's on his way and, you know, this light shines from heaven and he falls to the ground and he hears a voice. And the voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I love to do the voice thing. Saul, Saul. I don't know if he said it like that, but I can imagine. Or he said, Jerry Wayne. He said, oh, somebody's trying to get my attention. What? Put your name in the block, in the blank. And then Saul says something to him after he asks the question, why are you persecuting me? And one of these things I want to call your attention to is sometimes we think God is against us and we are going against him. And I know some people on their journey, because you don't know that God loves you and pursues you and desires to be with you, we resist him. But if you really know that he really wants you close to him, even when you're messing up, you know, you'd be more apt to embrace him. Are you with me today? And then Jesus says to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then Saul responds back to him. I love what he says to him. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" So you know that he's God, but you don't understand it in full sense. And then the voice says, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting you." And he says, "Get up." And I know King James Version says, "It's hard to kick against the prick." And I like that part too. "Now get up and go to a city, and you will be told what to do." Here's the next point, which is tremendously important. I want you to grasp this, is that God is trying to get a message to you, but oftentimes we're too busy or there's some things in the way for us to receive what God is saying to us. Are you with me? Daniel 10 says this, Daniel 10 and 7. I love this passage. This is Daniel. This is why we call it the Daniel fast, because it's a 21-day something took place. It says, "Only I, Daniel, saw this vision." God was dealing with him because there was something happening to Persia, and they were about to be attacked. And God needed someone that could hear from the Lord in order to know what to do, because you need to know what's happening in the spirit realm in order to know how to deal with it. Are you with me today? So it says, "The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide." Next verse, it goes on and says, "So I was left there alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I left, and I felt very weak." Now look at this next passage. And then he says, "Then I heard the man speak." This was an angel. "And when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and I lay there with my face to the ground." 10th verse. "Just then a hand," can you imagine God going to this extent to get a message to somebody? "Just then my hand," he sent me to get a message to you. Hallelujah. He will go to some extents. Hallelujah. "Sent a hand and touched me and lifted me. Still trembling to my hands and knees." And then the 11th verse, if we'll look at it. "And the man said to me, 'Daniel, you are very precious to God.'" How many of you know you need to hear that on occasions? "I'm so precious that I'm pursuing you. You're so precious that you're going off the direction, and I can't stand to see you go in that direction, so I got to send a message to bring you back. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you." I'm not just here by happenstance. "I've been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling." 12th verse. And he says, and then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Listen, since the first day you began to what? For understanding and to humble yourself before God." In other words, the first day you start praying to me, Daniel, I heard you. Can I let you know that God is not, his ears are not dull that he can't hear you? Amen. Are you hearing me today? Amen. Some of you all are praying right now and say, "I haven't seen it yet." God heard you the first day you prayed. Amen. Are you with me today? Amen. It says, "The first day you prayed, I heard you. You were praying for understanding and to humble yourself before God." Do you know that during a time of fasting is an excellent time to humble yourself? To where I don't know everything. And I tell you what, folks, I too, I'm working on this, man, because sometimes men, we get kind of hard of hearing. Can't get a witness? Got quiet. You must not have heard me. The other day I was working in the office, just this past Friday, in fact, and was working on a project. Kel and I, we were doing some things. We had to get it done because we wanted to get done for today. And I was like saying, "We got to get on this. We got to go here. Got to here. Got to get this all stuff together." And Jita heard what we were doing, so she comes to me and says, "So what are you doing?" And I'm thinking, like, trying to get some stuff done. Not quite with that much attitude, but there was some tude involved. And she said, "Well, just kind of, can you say?" So I was like, "We got this. We got this." Men, you ever been in one? "We got this" moment. "We got this." Then I went on to take a little bit farther. you know, we got to go to Walmart, we got to go over here, and got this, so we just kind of need you to get out of the way, kind of, sort of. And she said, I just want to help. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, like, I had to say, man, I didn't know if I said it exactly like this, but you're in the business. You're always in the, why you got to be in the business? Some things I can handle. Am I by myself? I'm just being truthful in the house. So, went a little bit further. Then she went, found the stuff that I couldn't find. Put it out there, found the other stuff that I had that was wrong, and put it out there. So this is what you're looking for? This, I was trying to get that in. And then I thought to myself that, Jerry Wayne, this is going to be a year that you learn how to listen.
Hallelujah.
How many of you all know sometimes you need to learn how to listen? Especially with people that's trying to help you. God wants to help you. And you telling God, I got this, God. If I need you, you know, I holler. And God said, no. You don't understand. I know what you don't know. I can take you things that you've never had before. When you're still looking and searching and frustrated over the whole process, if you just come to me and listen to me, I'll know how to drop it in your lap. Are you with me today? But you got to pray for understanding and humble yourself.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So he humbled himself. And look what he says after that. It says, before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. Heaven heard your request. I have come in answer to your prayer. Next verse, and this will be the last verse we read here. It says, but 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. In other words, you're praying and God hears the message and the angel is on his way down, Gabriel, to deliver the message to Daniel, but instead of the message being able to be delivered easily, there was a blockage taking place in the atmosphere. How many of you all know that the enemy doesn't want you to receive the message so you can hear what God wants to say? That's why he doesn't want you to pray today. That's why he doesn't want you to come to church and hear a word from God, because once you hear a message from heaven, change takes place. Strongholds are broken. You begin to walk in authority because you know who sent help to you. Are you with me today? Well, I feel a praise coming on. So there was a blockage, and believe me today, help me, I pray we have some intercessors for Springfield, but just because, just like there was a prince of the air over Persia, there's a prince of the air over almost every area. And I know you said, Pastor, you got kind of deep. It was okay for Daniel. I don't know about this day. Oh, yeah, there's strongholds that want to keep you from hearing the word from God. Are you with me today? So 21 days was blocked. Then Michael, who is Michael? Michael is the war angel. And he comes to the rescue. He came to help me, and I left him there. He said, I was getting out of there. Michael, you handle this. You got this. I need to go and deliver this message. I think it's important that we do what God has called us to do. Gabriel said, I got to give this message. Michael said, I got to beat down this demonic spirit that's over the very prince of Persia. I want you to know that God has some intercessors right now in this day, and God has called some of you all to intercession so you can pray down strongholds that we can operate and hear what God wants to speak to us today. Somebody give God a shout in this house. Hallelujah. Woo! So, what does this mean? That means that he was praying and he laid aside some things. Why? That he could hear. My prayer for this fast is that our ears become sensitive to what the Spirit is speaking to us. That we, as a body of believers, that we become keen to what God is saying in this last hour. That we would no longer be dull, missing out on what God wants to say. Because, man, God has placed us on this earth to make a difference. Somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So let me share this. We were chosen for a purpose. And this passage in Acts 9:15, it says, I needed someone to minister to a certain group of people. So the Bible says, you know, here in the book of Acts 9:15, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is What? My chosen? Oh, you mean to tell me you clowning, but you chosen? You beating people down, but you chosen? You know, you carrying people back in chains, but you're still chosen? Can I let you know, folks, that regardless of what you're doing, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. You still have a call on your life regardless of what you do. How many of you all know some people right now that God's got a call in their life, but they're doing something different? They're chosen. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know one right now, and I know he is so chosen, but boy, he is running and trying to do the other thing. The Bible says it saw my chosen instrument, my chosen vessel. You know, you've got to go and you got to lay hands on him because I got an assignment for him. Now, understand, Ananias was a little bit tripping because he was like saying, man, this dude has a history of beating folks down, folks that look like us. And when people come through that door that don't look like you, people that just been on the streets, you know, I mean, they just straight up. And there's some people that are in the streets that, you know, and even some people, I tell you what, here's a good example. The man that shot up folks in the church, you know, can you imagine God saying, hey, you need to go minister to him? He said, I ain't trying to minister to him. He crazy. Don't you think he needs some ministry? He shows up in the church one Sunday and say, hallelujah, praise God, I'm here. A lot of us say, I'm out. See you later, Pastor. I'm deuces. I'm gone. But here's what happened. Ananias was called to lay hands on Saul after he got his nerves up, lay hands on Saul and say, Saul, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And something happened to Saul that while he was being prayed for, his eyes came open and something like scales fell off of his eyes, and the Bible says right away he began to preach the gospel. Go out. He didn't wait, didn't go through no classes. He was like saying, man, something has happened on the inside of me, and I got to tell somebody about this. I know where I came from. Now, understand, when you read this passage, you got to understand that he had so much impact on the world and on the New Testament, writing about a third of it. The thing about it is that he had a history, and people don't know his history. And when God says, I'm sending you to go to a certain group of people, the Gentiles, those are not Jews, the kings, as well as people of Israel, I'm sending you there. Can I let you know that God has an intended target for you as well? Amen. You will reach people that I won't reach, you know, because my delivery is a lot different than yours. You know, I don't know a whole lot of thug lingo. I don't know a whole lot of certain, you know, they can pick me out right away. Hold just 1 minute. They can pick me out right away. Say, Pastor, you've not been in the streets. Yeah, you're right. I haven't. I've been in church most of my life. And, you know, some people, even though I was into some stuff, but not like, see, I can reach some people, but I can't reach everybody. There are people that I can reach you, and you can reach them. Look what takes place. Saul goes to the Gentiles and shares a message, and I'm one of them because I'm not a Jew. Amen. He goes to the Gentiles and he tells them, he says, hey, you know, I want you to know about this thing called grace. You're saved not by works. I know you used to think it was about works, but no, it's not by works, it's by grace. But by grace are you saved, not by works. It's a gift of God. And the Gentiles begin to believe, and they begin to say, man, it's something. I remember when I was sharing the gospel, when I first got started a long time ago, and it was a passion of my heart because I wanted to see other people recognize that you're not saved based upon your works, but you're saved based upon what Jesus Christ did and his shed blood on Calvary's cross. And to see people's lives change because of that, I was like saying, this is worth the whole thing. I want you to know that God has called us to go back to the people that we came from and share the gospel message, and it is good news. I mean, it's good news in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Some of you all will go back to prostitutes. He said, yeah, I said it. Why? And it ain't no shame. Man, we all been delivered from something. Some of you all will go back to people that have been molested, been raped, and be telling them, listen, I know what you're going through because I went through it too. But we got to come out of our religious state acting like we've never done anything wrong. Saul could understand and could relate to the people that he was ministering to because he used to be there. I'm preaching better, you ain't man, but that's okay. Somebody give God a real good praise in the house. Thank you, Lord. So God reveals his purpose for Saul, and God will reveal his purpose for you. I believe today that there are people in the audience today that you'll reach many more people than I ever have. Why? Because there's an audience that I have not tapped, and many of them will be rappers and maybe people that's in the streets. I mean, whatever God raises and takes you before, there are groups of people that you are assigned to. How many of you all know that you're assigned to a group of people? And all those people are not church people. The Bible says, go into all the world, and he says, the highways and the hedges, and compel men. I want you to know that's our assignment. And there are people waiting for you to rise up and take your place, to walk in your purpose. Because when Paul began to share the gospel, man, people got saved. And I want you to know that today people will get saved when you begin to share the gospel. Give God glory in this place. My next point is this. We are all called to impact people's lives. We are. Say it with me. I'm called to impact somebody's life. Now understand, it may not look like the way I impact them. You may not be on a stage. You may not be. But man, you're called to impact somebody's life. And that's purpose. God placed you on the earth to impact somebody. And there's a passage that I love in the book of Ephesians 2 and 10. I love this passage because when we read this passage, it says that for we are God's what? Handiwork or workmanship. Another says God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do what? And which God prepared. One place says before the foundation of the world. This says prepared or which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, before you even arrived on the scene, God had a plan for you. God had a purpose for you. And he wanted you to do good things. And sometimes we get off track, but God is bringing us back on track. How many of you are glad to be getting back on track? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My last point. And Ken, thank you so much. My last point is this. When God calls you to something, there'll be many things that try to get in your way. But can I just let you know this one thing? That nothing the devil does can stop the purpose of God in your life. I don't care what he's thrown at you, what he's come at you with, what he's tried to do. There's nothing the devil can do or does that can stop the purpose of God. God's plan. And y'all say, well, I need a scripture. Isaiah 14:27. It says, for the Lord Almighty has what? Purposed. And who can thwart him? Who can break down? And some folks have tried to stop God's purpose. They can't stop it. They can put you in the cistern or the hole. Guess what? You'll come out better than you got put in there. Glory to you. You can stand on your feet and give God praise. Somebody give him a shout in the house. We love you, God. We bless you, Lord. I said, we bless you, Lord. We give you glory. We adore you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was talking to a young man that recently graduated a high school, and I asked him a few questions. Of course, you know, we always want to encourage those that go to school and any accomplishments that they make. And you know, I said, hey, son, you know, congratulations, and shook some money in his hand. So that for the rest of y'all that graduate, we got some for you too. We do, man. Just one of those things. I didn't say I did, but I said we. So y'all can smile. We do. But I said, okay, now that you've graduated, what are you going to do? He says, well, I'm going to go to college. And I said, what are you going to study? He told me what he's going to study. And so after you graduate, you know, where do you want? He says, I want to go here and I want to do this. And he says, I'm going to make a lot of money. I said, that sounds good. I said, then what next? He says, well, I guess after that, I'll probably get married. You know, I said, that sounds good. You know, college, school, job, marriage. He says, what next? He said, after that, I'll have some children. And I said, you know, that's a good thing. Then I said, well, then what next? He says, I guess I'll may start my own business and make a whole lot of money. I was like, I ain't mad at him, because I don't know about you, but I had that same plan one day. And then I said, well, what next? And then he says, well, you know, I guess I'll retire one day and get old. Then I said, well, what next? He said, I guess I'll die. And I asked him, I said, then what next? Can I let you know that on this earth, this is only part of the picture? I'm not living for down here, but I'm living for eternity. That's my purpose, to spend eternity with God. No wonder this writer says this, and I get excited when I say it. He says this, and this is the same writer that was off track, but now he's on track. He says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, I reckon that the very suffering that I experience on this earth is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in Christ Jesus. He says, one day the dead in Christ shall rise, and then them that remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. My purpose is not just on this earth, but I'm going to live with him forever. Somebody give God a shout in this house.